Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. We are delighted that you're here with us today on a really terrific day. You know, we're the church that is always seeking to know God, to love God, and to serve God. So whether you're joining us online, hello to our online people, or you're here with us in the sanctuary, we hope that you'll have a meaningful time of worship with us. And if it happens to be your first Sunday with us, be sure to stop at our welcome desk because we have a terrific hello gift for you. We're going to be continuing our study of what God actually wants from each of us. And this week, we are having a very special preacher. Because as United Methodists, we celebrate the ability of laity to preach, and we have our communications director, Suzanne Everett, who's been a member of this church for a long time and who you've seen up here praying. Today, you're going to hear the message that God has given to her, and we're going to pray for her and with her as she brings that message. May God speak to each of us in the way that we need to hear. I'm Pastor Lynn, your associate pastor, and our worship leaders today are Sarah Dick and Carol Kapuska, as well as our adult choir led by Susan Kimball. Please find the connection card that's in your bulletin and fill it out. Let us know you're here, then turn it over because we keep changing what it says on the back. And on the back, you can find things that interest you. Put that card in the offering plate along with any prayer requests. There are prayer request cards right there in the pew. If there's something on your heart, we would love to pray with you. And now, at this time, I want to invite any children that are still here in the sanctuary, please feel free to head to Sunday school. A lot of you are probably already downstairs, but you're also welcome to stay. Either way is perfectly fine with us. I do have some announcements, and the announcements are going to get to be more because you know what season we're moving towards, right? Advent. Lots of things happening. So our Advent study for this year is already starting this week. Oh my gosh, how did that happen? The book that we're using across the church is called Unlikely Advent. It's by Rachel Billups, and you can sign up online, but there are two ways to participate. One way is on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., you can come here. There will be refreshments in the library, and then we'll break into small groups, and we'll go week by week with the study. So that's a very easy way to do it. But we also have a lot of existing study groups in the church, and all of them, or most of them, have chosen to also do the Advent study, and they have said, come on in. So if Wednesday doesn't work for you, you can go to one of the other groups. Rick Slade is going to be in the community room during coffee hour, and he can sell you a book. The books are there. He can explain in more detail. But we hope you'll come. It's such a great way to get ready for the Christmas season. Our next announcement is that our once-a-year annual conference of our church is going to be held this Saturday, November 23rd. Everybody's welcome to come. but it's not going to be here at our building. It's going to be up at Howell United Methodist Church from 9:30 to 11, along with a number of other churches from our district, so that our district superintendent, Reverend Luann Rourke, can be a part of all of them. At 9:30, there's going to be a joint worship time in the sanctuary there. And if you haven't been to the Howell Church, it's kind of neat. You can go up and look at it. It's a really nice church. Worship time in the sanctuary, then 10:15, the churches will all move into our own separate rooms for our conferences. Everyone's welcome to attend. Church members are able to vote on items like leadership nominations, pastor salaries, and so on. All right, the next announcement. Our church is going to be Christmas caroling once again at Greenfield Village this year on Friday, November 20th. If you would like to join in, sign up on the bulletin board by the choir room or talk to Susan Kimball. Next, our children's Christmas program and dinner is going to be Sunday evening, December 15th. And why is it important to tell you this now? The kids are already working on it. The program is free, but there is a dinner, and you have to get tickets for the dinner if you want to do the dinner as well as the program. You can get the tickets online or during coffee hour starting next week. Finally, if you like to play board games, you know, Monopoly, whatever, our Whitmore Lake campus has game night once a month, but this month, because of Thanksgiving, the date has changed. So it will be November 21st this month. Now, let's stand together and sing Christ for the World We Sing, number 568 in the hymnal.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Grant us, Lord, a vision of the world as your love would have it, a world where the weak are protected and none go hungry or poor, a world where the riches of creation are shared and everyone can enjoy them, a world where different races and cultures live in harmony and mutual respect, a world where peace is built with justice and justice is guided by love. Give us the inspiration and courage to build it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Psalm 146. Praise for God's help. Praise the Lord. Let all that I am praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath. Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. When they breathe their last breath, they return to the earth, and all their plans die with them. But joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He made heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He keeps every promise forever. He gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are weighed down. The Lord loves the godly. The Lord protects the foreigners among us. He cares for the orphans and widows, but he frustrates the plans of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. He will be your God, O Jerusalem, throughout the generations. Praise the Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto thy sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We're in a sermon series that asks the question, what is tov? And we've learned that tov is the Hebrew word for good. And as we examine the goodness in God's eyes, it helps us see God's vision for the world. Last week, Pastor John introduced Micah 6:8, which introduces the idea that we know what God says is good, and what God calls us to do is to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. So Pastor John talked about humility, and today we're going to talk about justice. I'm a list maker. Are you a list maker? Yeah. I need my list to keep track of all the important things I need to do, the household chores, the house home improvements. There's a list on my refrigerator of the leftovers inside so that the people in my house don't have to open the door, you know, and stare in there for 5 minutes, but they still do anyway. I have 3 part-time jobs, so you can imagine I need a lot of lists. Where are my Gmail people? Do you use Gmail? Have you discovered that little task bar on the side? It's a circle with a check mark. You click that and it opens up this sidebar where I can type in all my to-dos, I can rearrange them, I can date them, and I can check them off when they're done. I love it. I think God likes lists too. Have you noticed? There's lists sprinkled throughout the Bible. Just the 10 Commandments, right? It's our list of do's and don'ts. Micah 6:8, the things that are required of us. In Corinthians, you've been to how many weddings where they read that verse from Corinthians 13:4? I know it was at mine. It tells us what love is and what love is not. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. Looking at today's scripture, I think it illustrates God's justice to-do list. And what a powerful portrait of God and what God calls good. This psalm is one of the last 5 psalms in the Bible. And all those 5 psalms focus on praising God. In verse 3, this psalm reminds us not to put our trust in people, but in God. And that's not always easy, is it? I mean, think about the people in your life that you trust, right? I know I can trust my husband, I trust my parents, I trust my coworkers, and I feel like this age I kind of have gotten a sense of who I can trust. I mean, I can call my neighbor and say, hey, I need something, and she's got my back. But that's not what this passage is getting at. The psalmist gives us this litany, this long list on the character of God to remind us that we can trust God and God's agenda, not just now, but forever. The leaders and people of this world will not be here forever, but God will. The leaders and people of this world may or may not have their agendas aligned with God's. As God's people, then, we are reminded to use God's heart, to use God's lens, to use God's vision for justice and love and empowerment to set our agendas. As I took a deeper dive then into Psalm 146, I recognized many familiar issues that we read about in the Bible. The New Testament gospel of Jesus Christ time and again calls us to feed the hungry, to care for the oppressed, to care for the orphans and widows, and to lift up those whose spirits are burdened or low. In fact, reading Psalm 146 reminded me of one of my favorite New Testament passages, Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." I love this invitation to rest with Jesus, whether I'm feeling like one of the downtrodden or when I'm called to help lift up those who are marginalized. And Jesus knew the Psalms, right? He knew them. He was living out what he knew to be true and aligned with the heart of God. He reminded his followers then, and he reminds us, that all are invited to rest in Jesus. But then hearing other parts of this psalm with my modern brain, it gave me pause. Take verse 7, where it says, "God frees the prisoners." Huh. I had to ask, what was happening in the time of David when the psalms were written that would help me understand, why does God want to free the prisoners? I grew up as a child in the 70s and 80s, and I had an understanding that prisoners were there for a reason. Prison was the result of wrongdoing, a loss of freedom for some criminal act, right? You do the crime, you do the time. That's what I thought. So hearing that God has a heart, not just for caring for the prisoner and their well-being, but for freeing them, I had more questions. I wanted to learn more. The Psalms of David were written nearly 1,000 years before the time of Jesus and his turn the other cheek teachings. So I'm not a historian. I had to do some research. I found a paper written by Dr. Christopher Marshall and published on restorativejustice.org. In it, Dr. Marshall describes the prisons and judicial systems of the Old Testament times as a place of great suffering. Imagine pits or cisterns or underground dungeons. Then go forward another nearly 1,000 years to Jesus's time, and Roman prisons were dark, disease-ridden, and overcrowded. Now think about, what do we know about today's modern prisons? They are still sources of great suffering. I'm reminded of how COVID swept through overcrowded prisons, or how during the recent hurricanes, prisons chose to stay put through dangerous times. Christopher Marshall, in his paper, goes on to explain that imprisonment in biblical times was an instrument of oppression, more than an instrument of justice. Biblical law, Marshall says, favors restitution over retribution. Now think of verse 7. God frees the prisoners. So as I consider today's prisons, I've learned that mass incarceration has led to a system that locks up Black Americans at 5 times the rate of white Americans. Latinx Americans are incarcerated at 1.3 times the rate of white Americans, according to a 2021 report published by the Sentencing Project. And I've learned that the impact of laws over the last several decades, such as mandatory sentencing, 3 strikes and you're out, and the war on drugs, that led directly to today's staggering prison populations. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend a documentary called 13th. It was named for the amendment that abolished slavery. Among other things, It explores the creation of work prisons right on the heels of freeing enslaved people so that their free labor could continue to be exploited. It pains me that these decisions were intentional. Elected officials made these intentional decisions over the years to tip the balance toward imprisoning the poor and people of color. It's unjust. There's no other way for me to see it. We can do better. God calls us to do better. What is tov? What is good? What does God want for all people? This fall, I've been helping facilitate an ecumenical program called Faith and Racial Healing. The curriculum was created by an organization called Just Faith. 12 people from across Livingston County have been meeting here at the Brighton campus, learning about our country's history, including how religious institutions, unfortunately, were complicit in slavery and racism. It's not easy. It's been really hard, and we feel the heartbreak as we learn about the dehumanizing treatment of people stolen from their homeland. Hearing stories of enslaved people and learning about how at the end of slavery was followed closely by convict leasing, Jim Crow laws, segregation, and terror lynching that served to keep people of color in a constant state of fear. It pains me that the United States has not apologized for this history, for this racist dehumanizing of people. To do so now would be one powerful step toward the healing of trauma of generations of African Americans who were taught over time that their pain and their feelings and their lives and their rights were less than white Americans. The time is right for us to hear with fresh ears Psalm 146, to reacquaint ourselves with our God of action, a God that favors restoration and justice for the oppressed and calls it good. To lean into the hope that comes from aligning ourselves with God's purpose and God's heart. I think I've always had a heart for social justice. I remember being a teenager and feeling this little spark that pulled at me when there was something inequitable or unjust. And I don't think it was just because I was the youngest child. I remember getting a poster when I was in high school that said, "Why do we kill people who kill people to show that killing people is wrong?" I know it's simplistic, but it resonated with me. I don't always know what to do with this inner spark for justice. Sometimes I've studied. Sometimes I've met with groups and discussed these issues. Sometimes I've acted, and other times I've been paralyzed by indecision or lack of direction or lack of courage. Right out of college, though, I got on a plane in 1991 and traveled to South Africa, where I spent time trying to understand the injustices of apartheid. But that activist bent I developed back then kind of took a back seat as I came home and I raised a family and I got comfortable. Sometimes I would find ways, you know, to get the conversation going about race or about justice again, but it was harder, you know, to keep putting myself into that battle. The last few years, though, especially since the murder of George Floyd, I've been re-energized and refocused, and I've read and studied more, and I've found ways to better understand how God's beloved children are marginalized and discriminated against based on things beyond their control. The color of their skin, their race, their ethnicity, their gender, their sexual orientation, their gender identity, and socioeconomic condition. I study, I discuss, and that's important, but sometimes I feel slow to act. At times I choose to stay comfortable and turn down opportunities to get involved because it's difficult or not convenient. Thank goodness for this community of faith, where we work together as a team, encouraging each other to step out and represent God's heart to the community. I'm grateful for the individuals who in our church would speak up at a county commissioner meeting and remind our leaders that humans are not illegal, that our community is safer when all people feel equal protection under the law. I'm grateful for the creation of a church and society committee where we work towards justice and mutuality. It was author Maya Angelou who said, "Do the best you can until you know better. And when you know better, do better." Psalm 146 describes a God of action, and it is calling me to examine my role and keep looking for ways to act. I need to spend more time with God and determine what's mine to do and to ask what on God's agenda needs to be put on mine. While it may not be easy, I realize that with God in my heart and my God-given abilities and that little spark that God put there, I can take God's to-do list seriously. And remember, as verse 5 says, joyful are those who have God as their helper. Where might that little spark be leading you? I want to tell you, there are 4 projects in our Church and Society Committee: the Economic Justice Project, the Access for All Project, the Welcoming All LGBTQ Advocacy Project, and the Anti-Bias, Anti-Racism Project. Maybe one of those interests you. There is a potential for a 5th project, in fact. The Green Team, if environment and climate justice are your spark, maybe that's a place for you to get involved. I have been part of the Anti-Bias, Anti-Racism Project, and I'm grateful for the many people in this church community who have joined the work. In fact, next month, I want to invite you to an event we're having on Tuesday, December 3rd. You're invited to an evening workshop we've put together called Becoming Community, Foundations in Welcome and Inclusion. There, we'll dig into what it means and what it could look like to truly be a place where all people can flourish and feel welcome and at home. So what might that spark of justice be burning in you? What's leaping out at you? What might God be calling you to do joyfully with God as your helper? Take some time this week and consider this challenge and ask God for help in making your to-do list. And as the psalmist said, end your list with a praise to God. The Message translation says it this way: God's in charge, always. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, as we consider our responses, I invite you to join this companion litany to the United Methodist Social Principles, as found in our Book of Discipline and shared now on the screen. Let's read responsively. God in the Spirit, revealed in Jesus Christ, calls by grace to be renewed in the image of our Creator, that we may be one in divine love for the world. Today is the day God cares for the integrity of creation, wills the healing and wholeness of all life, weeps at the plunder of earth's goodness. And so shall we. Today is the day God embraces all hues of humanity, delights in diversity and difference, favors solidarity, transforming strangers into friends. And so shall we. Today is the day God cries with the masses of starving people, despises growing disparity between rich and poor, demands justice for workers in the marketplace. And so shall we. Today is the day God deplores violence in our homes and streets, rebukes the warring madness, humbles the powerful, and lifts up the lonely. And so shall we. Today is the day God calls for nations and peoples to live in peace, celebrates where justice and mercy embrace, exalts when the wolf grazes with the lamb. And so shall we. Today is the day God brings good news to the poor, proclaims release to the captives, gives sight to the blind, and sets the oppressed free. And so shall we. Amen.
Come and go with me to that land. Come and go. So like Pastor Lynn said this morning, I also love that there are so many of us that can participate in various parts of the sermon or the prayer or telling us the different portions of the Bible that we are focusing on today, because it gives us each a part that maybe we can connect to. And I have to say, Suzanne, nailed it. So one of the things that I enjoy is that there may be a part of the service that any of us can connect to. It might not be the sermon. It could be a song, that there's a line in it that just resonates, and maybe you sit in the pew and just focus on it. There may be something in the announcement. There may be something in the scripture that is being read. There may be something in the prayer that is given that you can connect to and focus on. And I love that during in this church, because sometimes I can just focus on that, and unfortunately that means that I might tune out the sermon or something during the day. Don't tell anybody that. But there is always something that I can focus on in the service. So hopefully there's something in my prayer that you might connect with. So let's pray. Our hearts are filled with your love today, Lord, knowing that we are under your guidance and protection. Help us to avoid the distractions that call us away from your path. We get attracted by sparkly things, but often those are not the things that will fill our spiritual buckets. We get buried in our stresses and overwhelmed with our lives and forget how much we can depend on you during those times. Life is full of tasks that are hard, and with your hand upon us, we can do hard things. You made us in your likeness. We were built with rough edges to weather the storms. We were built with warm hearts to soothe and care for each other. We can think of Sundays as the last day of the weekend, a day of rest to rejuvenate and connect with you. But we can also think of Sundays as the start of a new week that holds all of the promise of a fresh start. We pray for your support in keeping this positive outlook, even in the toughest of times or the harshest of critics. We pray today for all those facing challenges in their lives. We have prayer quilts that we can focus our prayers on for healing, comfort, and peace. And today they are for Raymond Moses and for Shar. We can tie knots in those quilts after the service today to physically hold those prayers into the material that will surround their bodies with our support. But we also pray for those that find challenges with addiction, that are struggling with violence in their lives, that don't have a place of safety to go to. We pray for peace for those that are recovering from disasters that have upended their lives. As we sit in the peace of this sanctuary, may those feelings be sent to them. May they find a sanctuary of their own. And in the sanctuary, Lord, we praise you. We sit in this building that at times has sprung leaks and been too warm or too cold, that creaks and groans like it has arthritis, but it also is a building filled with your spirit that allows us to gather and share music and your word, as a place where we hear laughter of children or the tears of the grieving. That brings us together as one body to problem solve, to plan missions, to gather our resources, to celebrate the baptism of a new follower, or to celebrate a life well lived. We can gather together as a community, but we also praise and thank you for being able to be alone in this setting, to commune with you within these walls, even if we're in a crowd, that you will reach out in a crowd of your followers and speak to just us. you will whisper in our ears or shout down to our hearts. You fit the whole world in your hands or just our hand. You alone know all about us. You alone know our fears and faults. You alone can show us the purest of love. And we are so grateful. There is so much to be thankful for. This is the month that we think so much about being thankful. But there are not enough hours in the day to express all of the things we are thankful for. But right now, in just a short amount of time, we're going to take a shot at a few and take a little time to pray to you about them. And now let's join our voices. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
So as we prepare to give our tithes and offerings this morning, we come to our time of offering. I invite the ushers to come forward at this time while I share a little bit with you. You know, this is a church that has a deep commitment to justice, and we thank you so much, Suzanne, for helping us to think a little more about that. But we're a church that likes to use our talents and our resources to help make justice a reality in our own lives and in our world. Just 2 weeks ago, our youth ran a cafe over in the Well during the Trunk or Treat celebration to raise money for UMCOR, and they raised $957.02. We're proud of them for that. And UMCOR is the United Methodist Committee on Relief, and it makes a difference all over the world. And we love to be innovative. We like to find ways to use our talents to do good in the world. Last week, we did a quilt and craft show. And how much money do you think was raised for new programs through our endowment fund? How much money did that craft show raise? Get a number in your mind. $10,536. So today, we have another chance to do our part as we give our tithes and our offering, but also through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. May God bless all the gifts we share.
Lord, we lift up to you your gracious mercy, all those suffering injustice in our world. Fill the hearts of humankind with the fire of your love and with the desire to ensure justice for all. By sharing all that you have given us, may we secure an equality for all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the one who calls us to do justice. Justice. We've heard it several times today. To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Go in peace. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.